Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I wasn't sure what I was going to entitle the message this morning, so because I'm talking about worry, I just titled it Worry. Not too creative, I guess, but that's what I'm talking about this morning. Okay, I better turn to where I want to be as well. Starting in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what I shall eat, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So you have a passage of scripture here. Just a few verses, and at least five times Jesus uses the word worry, do not worry. And in verse 25, it says, is the first therefore, and so we need to just look up a little bit, because some people think that, from this passage of scripture, well, if we don't have to worry, then we don't have to work. If God is going to supply everything, then why work? Just sit back, relax, and don't worry. But there's nothing mentioned in here about not working. It's mentioned at least five times about not worrying, but there's nothing said about not working. And it's very clear in verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." So in order to do that, you need to work. Those things don't come by sitting back and doing nothing. And so what Jesus is talking about in that passage of Scripture is not to worry. And so I want to look at this whole matter this morning of worrying. And the first thing I want to look at is to give you a definition of worry, put this thing into perspective. So we have the word worry and can be used either as a noun or as a verb. And the noun portion, it says, and this is out of dictionary definition, it says a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Now, it's used as a verb, the definition is to give way to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. Also means mentally upset over possible misfortune or danger, etc. Means concerned, anxious, troubled, or uneasy. And the New Testament Greek word, the definition of that Greek word is a divided mind. If I get somebody to get me a glass of water, I would be very happy about that. Thank you. And so there's three words that we use, and I want to put these words into perspective before I go any further as well. And these three words are concern, worry, and anxiety. And first, I just want to talk about the word concern, which means having an interest in, give attention to, be engaged by a situation as a matter of consideration or responsibility. And so, if we're in the concern mode, let's say, you're still okay. That's an okay place to be. We can be concerned over things and situations, and at that point, we are still able to function and in a right manner. We can take this on as a responsibility of ourselves or someone else going through a difficult situation, and we can come alongside as long as we don't allow the concern to turn into worry. So you can be concerned over your children, but not to be worried. Worry is disquieted uneasiness of mind, an anxious apprehension concerning an impending or anticipated situation. So it starts going beyond concern, as you can see, and something that might never happen. We start worrying about. And then anxiety, well, this is getting out of control now. It says abnormal, overwhelming apprehension, anguish, uncertainty, and self-doubt about one's ability to cope with the situation to the point of becoming distressed, distraught, panicky, or tormented. So it's a progression. If we allow worry to take hold of our lives, we can very easily get into an anxiety where, you know, we can get into panic modes and all kinds of things. And so we need to be careful that we keep, if we have a concern, to keep it as a concern and not worry. And so for you and I as Christians, to keep from, you know, concern going over to the worry end of it, we need to, you know, bring the thing before God. And so it becomes worry when we fail to relate a situation, you know, that confronts us, and we all have situations that we deal with from time to time that we need God in that situation. But if we allow worry to take a hold of our minds and our heart, you know, sometimes we even fail to do that. And praise God for, you know, faithful brothers and sisters that will come alongside and pray for us at those times. To worry is to assume a responsibility that is not necessarily ours to assume. So there's a big difference to take on, to be concerned for someone, to pray for someone. But if we take on that as a responsibility of our own, let's say for someone else, you know, that's not necessarily what God wants us to do. And we can all, we can be a hindrance more than a help. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. And if we allow worry to take a hold, you know, we're failing to recognize that, you know, that God knows our problems. And, you know, God knows it all, right? And so He knows our problems. God is bigger than all our problems. God is bigger than all the problems that if we, you know, put them all together, the things that are troubling us today, each one of us, and we put them all in one plate, let's say, you know, God is bigger than all those problems in here. In fact, we see all the trouble and problems in the world. God is bigger than all the problems in the entire world. But sometimes when trouble hits us, we fail to see that God is bigger than our problem. And, you know, our problem becomes bigger than God sometimes, and that's all we see is the problem. We don't see God. And that's a danger. And so God is always there. And He desires the best for us. And He wants to bring out, you know, the highest good in the midst of every situation in our lives. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. The other thing that is coupled, I guess, with worry is fear. Fear and worry, they pretty much go hand in hand. You know, they walk down the street together, kind of. And they are pretty hard to separate. And so if we allow worry to take hold, you know, sometimes fear, or most often fear, is the root of that worry. And we are afraid of what might happen. And sometimes we worry and fear things that never happen. And we go, all we have to do sometimes is go on a trip and we can wear ourselves sick. Wonder if we're going to make it there, where we're going to have car trouble. And so we worry about things that may never, ever happen. And I'll talk more about that as well. And so worry and fear are the opposite of faith. And in chapter 6, in verse 30, the very last part of verse 30, it says, oh, you have little faith. It says, do not worry. And if you're worrying about these things, you have little faith. So far, this is kind of a discouraging kind of a message, maybe, that have I mentioned that, you know, worry is a failure to trust God? And the title I had thought of giving this message right on the outset was that worry is sin. But I thought, well, I'd wait a little bit before I threw that in there. And I didn't want people to get worried that, you know, about this whole thing. And but God says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And He says it so often that we need to pay attention to it. And so God says not to do something, and if we do it, then what is it? It's, you know, if it takes control of our lives in a negative way, that's sin. And the Bible tells us that we need to deal with sin in our lives. And but sometimes this worrying stuff is sometimes difficult to deal with. In Philippians 4:6, that's exactly what it says. It says, do not worry. Not to be anxious about anything. And it's, you know, it's easy to read. It's easy to tell somebody. But it's more difficult to put into practice. And this is where I believe the body of Christ is so important, that we can come alongside one another and encourage one another. And you know, just to know that we have that support, and that we don't have to worry about all these things that make us ill. And I'm sure we've gone over these. You've seen these statistics before concerning the things that we worry about, and the things that may never happen. The percentage of them. It says in the survey that we found was that 40% of things that we worry about never happen. So already, if you are a worrying person, you should have some relief right immediately. Because 40% of the things that you're worrying about right today, they're not going to happen. But it only gets better. 30% of the things that you worry about are in the past, and they can't be changed. So, I mean, that means you should be feeling a whole lot better already. You should have already 70% space in your heart now to praise God. You know? It just gets better. 12% things that we worry about is a criticism of others towards us. Mostly untrue. So, maybe there's 2% that's true. So now we're at 80%. You know, I mean, our hearts should be just, you know, we should be just jumping with joy already. And then there's 10% of our worry is about our health. And if it is actual worry about our health, that'll only get worse. And so we need to be careful that we keep it at the concern stage and not the worry stage. And so then we are left with 8% about real problems that we may, that we face. And so we shouldn't dwell on the 8%, but on the other percent that have no importance. So, I mean, you know, that's good. I think that's good news. And it should be a kind of a relief in our hearts and our minds that, you know, these are actual facts that, you know, they're not just somebody just threw them into the air. But there are things that we, specific things that we do worry about, that people worry about. And it's written, it's very clear in the scripture. And one of those is our daily provision. And, you know, where is my next paycheck going to come from? Or is my paycheck going to cover all my bills? We worry about our job. First, you may not have a job. You may have a lack of work. And so we pray for a job. We get to a place where, you know, we slack off on the worrying about it enough that we actually pray, or someone else comes alongside and prays with us, and we get a job. And we thank God for the job for one day and then worry the next day that we might get laid off. Or maybe my boss is not going to like me. Or my coworkers, or whatever. I'm a Christian. And what are they going to think about me? They don't like Christians on this job. But you prayed and God gave you a job. And now you're worried about your job again. I'm worried about the future. The world was supposed to end a week ago. We're still here. The rapture was supposed to take place. And I had interesting conversation with my brother and sister-in-law, two of my brothers and sister-in-law that week, and I just, you know, I was able to tell them, no, it's not going to happen on that day. I was just so, I said, well, how can you be so sure? I said, well, the Bible says that we do not know the day or the hour when the Lord is going to come. But there was a bit of worry on my sister-in-law's part because this preacher had been around a long time. But then I told her, I said, well, he had already predicted this once before and it didn't happen. So that gave her a little bit of comfort there. But it was interesting, the conversation. And again, health or sickness, dying, things that we think about. Our marriages. We should be concerned about our marriages, but we shouldn't worry. You get to a state of worry, doesn't help. Situation, if you have problems in your marriage, doesn't help. Just makes them worse. What about your children? Their salvation. I was sorry to hear that it was Youth Vibe this morning. Because they should need to hear this as well. But we worry about those things. That when our children don't walk the way we know they should with the Lord, sometimes we can worry about that. And But I'm always blessed to hear when parents pray for their children, like this morning at the prayer meeting. And we have a genuine concern for our children and their walk with God. But we need to continue to pray for them. What about their school? Are they going to make it? Are they going to pass their exams? Are they going to pass their driver's tests? There's so many things that can occupy our minds in any day. And as your children grow up, and as our grandkids are growing up, they're looking at, you know, girls and boys, and we're praying for mates for them. And then we worry about the relationship they might have with a boyfriend or girlfriend that they have, or what vocation they may go into. Are they actually going to, you know, make something out of themselves? And all these things that flood our minds when our children are growing up. We worry about families and friends, and not only about families and friends, but their problems as well. And they can be a concern to us. And not a worry, but a concern. What about finances? Again, going just reference back to chapter 6. Things that Jesus said not to worry about. The interest rates, is talk about them going up. If you have money in stock markets, are you going to have enough money for retirement? I mean, it goes endless, the things that we can, you know, worry ourselves sick about. And then what others think about us. Just a list of things that in any given week that our mind can be preoccupied with, and not necessarily benefit us at all. All right. In Matthew 6, verse 34, it says that each day has enough trouble of its own. And in Psalm 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions or the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so we know as Christians that in this life we are going to have troubles. We're going to be presented with enough opportunities to worry about than really what we need. But they're there. And the scripture tells us that they will be there and that we'll be facing them. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not maybe, but you will suffer some form of persecution. You may not be getting stoned today or tomorrow. You might not be getting beat up anytime soon. But verbally or behind your back, you may, you know, sense that you can feel the, you know, the back of your neck sometimes when people are talking behind your back. And so there's enough troubles that we're going to face that we have opportunity to worry. And so this morning, you're not alone. You're not an island unto yourself that you're the only one that might face trouble, that might be facing trouble today or tomorrow. But we're going to expect to face trouble. And I think knowing that beforehand, we can also then prepare our hearts and how we're going to deal with trouble that is going to come our way. Unfortunately, there are times when something hits us that's so unexpected that it kind of knocks us back for a few yards. You know, and it takes a little bit to get back ground that we've kind of lost. But God is there for us. So we know that in this life we are going to have trouble. And sometimes God allows these things to come into our life, and if it's not God that has presented them, God's going to use them for a purpose. And those purposes, as I mentioned before, are for our better good. And some of the things that God can do or will do or will use troubles that come into our lives is to help us to grow, to help us mature in our walk with God. And in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, it reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And is this what Jesus was talking about in chapter 6 of Matthew? That, you know, you don't have to worry about things that come against you. You don't have to worry about where your food is going to come from. But that even when difficult times come, that you will lack nothing. That if you don't worry, it's a testing of our faith. It's a time of growth in our lives. And God will want to use it for good. We don't see it oftentimes when we're in the midst of the situation. But later on, when the Lord has brought us through the situation, we see what God was wanting to teach us, and we are better and stronger people afterwards. Romans 5:3-5 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And so we look in Scripture, there are many that were faced with very difficult situations. And I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were about to be thrown into the furnace, and they made the comment that whether we live or die, our God is able to deliver us. So it didn't matter to them whether they lived or died, but they were convinced of the one thing, that God was able to deliver them out of that fiery furnace. And what about Daniel in the lion's den? I mean, he was faced with a huge problem one day and was thrown in there, and God protected him. What about Paul and Silas in prison? I mean, it's not a place that any of us would ever want to be. What did they do? They started singing and praising God. And they didn't allow the situations that they were in to overwhelm them, that they started to worry about it. They just began to praise God. There is something in them that caused them to praise God rather than to feel sorry for themselves in the situation that they were in. And so it's a time of growth. And sometimes we face situations in our families, even with our children, that are difficult. And we face situations that we can really physically do nothing about. You can't, no matter how much money, can't really get them out of that situation. But you can stand alongside, and you can pray. And in fact, if you could have gotten them out of that situation, it probably would not have been the best thing. Or someone else, a brother and sister in the Lord, is in a difficult situation, and you kind of just bail them out of the situation. It may not be your responsibility to do that. It may not be what God wants you to do. And it's hard to see. It's hard to walk alongside sometimes and just to see the pain and the struggle. And, you know, you just physically can't do anything. You can pray for them, and you just, you know, you wish sometimes that you could just take them right out of that situation so that they wouldn't have to be there anymore. And I like that article that Bob sent in to Chapel Chat about the butterfly. And this butterfly is coming out of its cocoon, and a man is watching how this butterfly is struggling to come out of that tiny little hole in the cocoon. And after a while, the butterfly just stopped struggling for a bit. And the man then decided, well, he would help this butterfly. And so he cut open the top of the cocoon. I'm just paraphrasing this whole thing. And helped the butterfly out of its cocoon. But what happened was this butterfly was not fully developed yet. And so the butterfly never flew. And so so sometimes we can, by us worrying and wanting someone else to be out of the situation that they're in, we can actually be a hindrance rather than a blessing. And so God has a purpose for some of the problems that he brings into our lives. And if they're not problems that God has brought in, like I mentioned earlier, God can use those situations for our benefit, because he wants us to be mature. He wants us to be strong. And oftentimes we don't see this till the Lord has brought us through a situation like this. And I think you know what I'm saying here. And then, you know, if you're just allow situations like this to cause you to worry, and worry doesn't allow you to pray, you're not helping the situation. You're just making yourself sick over it. You're not helping the person that you're worrying over or thinking about. So we need to keep it in perspective that there's a healthy concern that we can have, but we need to be careful that we don't allow it to go over into the area of worry. Life's troubles also are there. God uses those to correct us. And Proverbs 3:11 and 12 talks about that. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." And so God's in these situations sometimes demonstrates his love towards us. It's kind of a strange way, maybe. But sometimes we don't listen, and we need to be chastened by the Lord. And so sometimes God uses difficult situations in our lives to bring about correction in our lives as well. Life's troubles are also there to grow in grace, to know God's grace, to grow in God's grace. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, when we're talking about temptation, we're talking about areas of sin, right? And so, if it is true that worry is sin, then we can relate worry to this portion of Scripture, that no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. So this is something that is definitely common to man, this area of worry. And but in the Scripture, it's so wonderful that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. And sometimes we miss that escape, and we allow worry to take hold. So God knows how much we can bear. He knows how much we can take in any given situation. And that his grace for us is sufficient. And Paul experienced this when he was given a thorn in his side, in his flesh, it says. And he begged God to, He pleaded with God to take it from him 3 times. But God told him that my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so sometimes we're in a situation and we kind of feel pretty hopeless. We don't know what to do. And these are the times when God can really work in a situation when we admit that we're not able to do this on our own strength. And God's grace comes in, His strength comes in and works in our behalf. And Paul goes on to say at the latter part of that verse, it says, "Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so when we're weak in an area, and I'm relating this to worry, that I'm susceptible to worry. But God, you come when those feelings come, and when I'm being overtaken, God, you come. You build up a standard against this thing, and that your power will overtake, and it's so important. And we have an enemy out there that would want to destroy that. There's a quote here by this Leo fellow. I won't try and pronounce his last name. It says, "Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow, but it only saps today of its joy." So you can worry all you want about tomorrow. It doesn't change anything of tomorrow, any sorrows in tomorrow, but it can certainly rob your joy for this day. And here's a verse that we all know. John 10:10 says, "A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And so God is the one who wants us to not worry. God wants us to trust in Him. But we have an enemy that's going to come and want us to steal our trust in God and cause us to worry about situations that, you know, we have, you know, no need to even worry about them, because we talked about it earlier that 40% of them never happen. But the enemy, this is a tool of the enemy. It's a temptation of the enemy. And we need to be aware of it. And he's going to come and try and steal your joy, your trust, and your peace that you have in God. And we need to hang on to those things because they're so essential to us that when something comes against us very suddenly, that we are able to, you know, withstand that force by the power of God that is within us. Even though we are weak, but we have our trust in God. And as Paul says, "And I gladly, therefore most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities and my weaknesses rather than, you know, I can handle this on my own." And oftentimes we cannot. We need God in the situation. And He is more than willing to come into our situations, not necessarily to pick us up out of the situation, but to help us through the situation. And this is really how God works, is to help us through every situation, every difficult situation that we face. And the enemy would want us to be us to worry, to we're in a worry ourselves sick over it. Another quote by Edith Armstrong. Says, "I keep the telephone of my mind open to peace, harmony, health, love, and abundance. Then whenever doubt, anxiety, or fear try to call me, they keep getting a big, busy signal, and soon they'll forget my number." And so it's important what we keep our focus is on and what we think about. And if we dwell on the negative, I said, we're going to start worrying about stuff that we shouldn't be worrying about. So worry changes things, but worry never changes anything for the good. So we need to remember that. Matthew 6:27 says, "Who of you by worrying In some translations, it says, add a single hour to your life, or add any height to your stature. So it's a choice that we make, whether we're going to do it God's way or whether we're going to do it our own way. And generally, when we try to do it in our own strength, the enemy is very happy, because he is able then to come and push us over that edge. The world has a totally different view of things. And some of these things are okay, but generally, remember that song? Some of you probably remember that song. You know what I'm talking about? Who knows it? Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't know how I'm going to pay the rent? Don't worry, be happy. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But to think positive, that's a good thing. But if it's just to think positive, I don't know, there's something missing there as far as from a Christian perspective. We are to be positive, not just think positive. It says, don't worry, get control of yourself. You're in charge. Well, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in charge. The Lord is supposed to be in charge of our lives. Buy enough insurance, you won't have to worry about retirement. Be happy and laugh your troubles away. Laughter is good, as the Bible tells us, that it's like a medicine. Or get busy, be active. It'll take your mind off your trouble. But sometimes, it's a good thing to be active. To get busy. You're just dwelling on stuff, do something else. Some people, they go to the bottle, kill their worry that way, or drugs, or whatever. Some people use a therapist. Some people, this is just the cross I have to bear. They don't realize that there's a Jesus out there that is ready to carry all our burdens. But God has a remedy for worry, and this is what we need to dwell on. In Matthew 6, verse 33, says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so really, there's nothing that we really should have to worry about. And if we're in a situation where we find it difficult to serve God, there's a problem. There's something not right. Our mind is somewhere else. Our heart is not right with God. But if it's in a difficult situation, then if we're not able to even focus on the Lord, and perhaps, Lord, you can help me out of this situation. The enemy has pushed us over a cliff, never mind an edge. And so we have to acknowledge God in every area of our lives, and even in our troubled areas, and the difficult times that we might face. And we're to give Jesus first place. Too many times, we want to solve the problem. And I think especially for guys, this is our thing, is to fix things. And we want to fix these things in our own strength. But the Lord has shown me and brought situations in our family that I couldn't fix. We just had to trust God in those situations. And the only one that we could trust in was God. And not to worry, but sometimes angry. But we needed to trust God. That's the only way. And it bugged me because I couldn't fix it. We need to seek His righteousness. His righteousness simply means to be right in right standing with God. And if we again worry is sin, and we're worrying, then we're simply not in right standing with God. Then we need to deal with that. I like this next quote by Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China. This is an excellent one. It says, "Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all into God's hand. And then when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about." Now that's an awesome quote. Easy to quote, more difficult to accomplish. But the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, is casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Sometimes you want to hang on to them. Sometimes they're, I don't know what it is, they're like a treasure to us almost, and we want to hang on to them. Psalms 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you." And we have some very good instruction here in what God is going to do, that even though we have in this life we will have trouble, the Bible says He will deliver us out of them all. Not just some, one or two, but out of them all. And if we cast our burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain us. I don't know. Sometimes I think about how people that do not know the Lord, how they actually cope in difficult situations. And, you know, there must be probably a lot of people on antidepressants or whatever. I don't know what it is, but how they actually can cope in situations without knowing God, without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are blessed. We are blessed sometimes to have troubles. The Bible tells us to rejoice in tribulation. We don't understand that. I don't know, at least I don't understand that, why we would rejoice in tribulation. But the Bible says that we should. The scripture that was in the bulletin is my closing scripture, actually. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And my prayer for you is that if you haven't already experienced the peace of God that passes all understanding, that at some point in your life, maybe even this morning, that you would experience that peace. Louise and I have experienced that peace. And when it says that it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that's exactly what it is. It's not only that you don't understand it, you can't describe it. You can't describe what it is like to someone else, you know, fully. But we experienced it to the point where, you know, some people were getting angry at us because we had this peace in our heart. And it was at a time when we were leaving St. Anne. And we never thought that we'd ever leave there. But God gave us such peace that to this day, I don't understand. That it was just an awesome, awesome thing. And the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." This is a verse that we should have pasted maybe right in the front of our Bibles on the cover. And this is a, you know, like my uncle said, you hear him say often, this is a scripture you can take to the bank. You can count on this, and you can draw from this scripture. You can draw interest from this scripture. you can experience this scripture. But there is something that we need to do in that, and it's not to be anxious. And we need to bring our requests to God and to be thankful. Even in a difficult situation, you're in a difficult situation this morning, you need to be thankful, first of all, that you're a born-again Christian, that Christ died for you, that we can be here today because of him, that we can enjoy his presence, that we can enjoy the fellowship that we can have together, and we can enjoy his peace. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." We serve such an awesome God. And even though we face some serious difficulties in our lives, we still serve an awesome, awesome God. And my prayer for you this morning is that you're going to experience his peace in whatever situation that you're facing, you know, today and have been going through or whatever. And I just want to tell you that God loves you and that God is going to bring good any situation, any problems, any troubles that are represented here today. You may not know it this hour, but there'll be a time coming when you will see that what God actually was trying to do in any certain situation. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come.